This interview was recorded for the International Bomber Command Centre Digital Archive, which owns the copyright for this performance.
It was in the, just at the beginning of the war. The war started, and I did this three-month course. And he said, I go down every Saturday morning to Drem Airport and we fly, and yes, I had on that Tiger Moth. So I went down with him on Saturday afternoon. Drem was just a grass strip field. It wasn't a major airport.
No. They were ATC cadets.
They were in the ATC cadets. And he spoke to the pilot and he said, sure, off you come. And I climbed into the Tiger Moth. It was a two-seater thing, you know, a biplane.
Yes.
And we went off and flew around North Berwick. And I wasn't interested in flying it, he just flew it along. We ran into some cumulus. I can remember going to Harrogate anyway, and then we were sent off to it won't be in my flying book, of course. How did I come to 156 Squadron?
It must have gone via an OTU.
Yes.
Operational Training Unit.
Yes, at ITU at War Boys, I think it was called.
War Boys.
And we did Pathfinder Navigational Training there. And then I was sent to 156 Squadron at Upwood, which was an operational squadron doing pathfinding with the squadron over Germany, usually. And that was, of course, an exciting time.
How many ops did you do with 156?
I only did about 13, I think, if I remember right. I marked them in this thing. And then the war came to an end.
But so that would have been late 44, early 45?
Yes.
So you did 13 ops with 156, and the war finished?
Yes, from various places in Germany.
But then you might have been involved in flying back prisoners of war and all this sort of thing.
I had a little map there with the places that were marked. These were the operations. Gelsenkirchen and Potsdam and places like that, which was a long flight, Potsdam.
Yes.
Then the war finished, it came to an end, and just before it ended, we were used to fly food to Holland.
Oh, Operation Manor, yes.
Manor, that was it, and we had a BBC man with us, and I did a report to the BBC for this Manor thing, which was very interesting because it was... It was the day before the war finished, and we were flying at very low level and dropping this food, and the people were all out on the roofs and waving.
Yes, what a wonderful thing that was for
yes.
the Dutch.
I remember, you know, we got a sweet ration when you were so long. I made it into a kind of parachute with my hanky and dropped it out the plane hoping some boy would get it in Holland, and indeed how nice that was.
Oh, that's good.
How much they enjoyed get it. They were starving, of course, the people. So that was that. Then there was an interim when we were in a no man's land.
Of Exodus, yeah.
Yeah, Exodus, yeah. And we did that for a wee while. And so did flights with the crew to show them.
Yeah.
What had.
That's right. The ground crews went on
Cook's
tours, they were called.
Cook's tour, that's it. These are in this book. We went round, just short flights, to let them see the rock. And that was.
And then there was Goodwood, wasn't it? There was the raid on Car.
That's the book.
Operation Goodwood, the raid on Car. You went on that as well, didn't you?
Yes. Yeah. We went on quite a few places. And then the war was coming to an end. And they decided to reduce squadrons to 100. We were in 156. And this started a very exciting time for me. We were sent to 35 Squadron. The whole unit was sent to 35 Squadron, which is that photograph there.
Yeah.
Wing Commander Craig, I remember. And we fiddled about for a while when they got us doing formation flying, which was very difficult with Lancasters.
Especially when we've been used to flying at night and not formating on anything.
This was through the day, and we went down each day over Harris's offices, and we had to be there at a certain time and we had to be in formation, and other squadrons were doing that, of course. And all this was to do a flypast on VE Day in London. And it was rather nerve-wracking for a navigator in a big squadron. And you will see photographs of that flight over London. As a result of that success, and apparently we seem to be the best at it.
Oh, that's a big fly pass, isn't it?
Flying over London.
1, 2, 3, 4.
That was on our way to Buckingham Palace on VE Day. I would be about here, you see.
Yes.
rather nerve-wracking for a navigator. Although we had to get there in the right time.
So. Right, of course.
So we did that, and I'm sure it was as a result of that the RAF got an invitation from America, American Air Force, to celebrate their 39th anniversary of the formation of American Air Force, which the American Army Air Force, which later became an Air Force
on its own.
And that's, I had a big book there of, that was an amazing experience because the whole squadron went. And we went all round America and stopped at various...
Goodwill tour and showing off the Lancaster.
That's right. We stopped for a week at various places and we had laid an aircraft open for inspection and a great deal of hospitality and taken round till we got to Los Angeles where the final ceremony was. And they took us about there, of course. We stayed a week each place, which was very interesting. And in that
for book, a young man, it was a tremendous opportunity.
Yes,
travel.
The hospitality was very good, I must say. In fact, I wrote a bit about that also to an American. I'm a member of the Forsyth clan, and it's quite strong in America. And
you got involved in all of that, yeah.
And the what? The one who writes their newsletter asked if I would write something about this tour of America.
All right.
Along the lines of all the good hospitality we'd had and so on. So,
good.
So I did that, and you'll find that in here.
Oh, thank you.
I've written that too. That was our squadron, and that was the formation flag.
So there you were at the end of the war. When were you actually demobilised and sent back to civil life?
It was in November of, was that 46?
46, November 46.
Because I remember coming up in a train to Glasgow and going in that night to the university to see the professor if I could start on the architects, of course.
And they said, okay.
Although you had to have so many attendances by Christmas, if you do it well, we'll take you on, all right. So I saved a year, in other words.
Oh, excellent.
In this night and evening classes. The very day I came home, I was in the university.
Excellent.
And got started. And finally qualified, of course, as an architect.
Right. And that was your career.
And that was my RAF career finished. Now, after that, there came the Scottish Air Show, and I went down there to see that, and I joined their club.
Was that the one at
Prestwick?
Yeah.
They took part at Prestwick. They had aircraft there, and I've got a photograph of one of them too.
Well, that was.
And after that, I joined the official club.
Right.
You see?
So you've kept an active interest in
the official RAF Memorial Club,
right?
And I joined that. That was just my crew.
So that was you.
Yes, that was.
So you had an interest. You kept the interest in aviation and developed your career as an architect.
That's right. I did that till I retired. And as an architect, I've put it in here. One of the things I was proud of was a school that I did in Glasgow that happened to be a circular school.
All right, that's interesting.
It was a secondary school, a very large secondary school.
Smithy Croft Secondary School, 1968.
Yes, I was very proud of that, having done
it. It's a lovely building. And very aesthetically pleasing.
Yeah.
Is it still extant today?
No, they've knocked it.
They've knocked it down. Vandals.
No, it was.
It was getting a bit aged. Yeah.
Yes.
Still, it was pretty avant-garde for its time, wasn't it?
It was, yes, and it was well thought of at the time.
Excellent.
I enjoyed.
You got an architectural award for that, I hope.
I enjoyed doing that, and I was in the. My own profession. I became president in Glasgow of the Glasgow Institute of Architects. That was our crew. And
tell me about your crew. At the OTU at Warboys, where you crewed up.
Yes.
When my uncle crewed up at the 11 OTU at Kinloss, mm-hmm. 19 OTU at Kinloss, they put them all in a big hangar.
Oh.
Radio operators, gunners, pilots, navigators, bomb aimers, and they just found people they liked, and they liked the look of them, and they did well on their course, and they formed a crew from there.
Yes. Well, but that wasn't what happened.
No, what happened? You were actually posted to Pathfinder.
Posted to 156 Squadron.
Yes,
and there was always one or two planes failed to return.
Right,
it was rather sad, really. And they had a need to piece together crews, which they did. They introduced us to various people. And would you like to join the crew with this chap?
Right.
See?
Okay.
And I did this with.
So it was more you were selected to join certain crews.
People who got on well. Together.
Yeah, well, that's right. It was a similar thing, but more concentrated in your case. Yeah.
And we formed a crew, and we stayed as a crew.
And were you all an officer crew?
No, the pilot, of course, was a. I wasn't at that time. I was a flight sergeant.
Right.
The engineer was a flight sergeant.
Right. Okay. There was an officer there.
And that's him. And the rest were the mid upper gunner and the wireless.
Yes.
They were. Flight sergeant.
And you had a dog. Was that the mascot?
That was the pilot's dog. It was just a dog he had, you know.
Yeah, they had a lot of dogs, didn't they? It's following Guy Gibson's
yes.
example.
Yes, that's right.
So that's.
We stayed together as a crew and we did very well. And then we had this dramatic change to go to America.
Yeah.
And that formed another crew. I had a different pilot then.
And so when you came back, November 1946, you were demobbed.
Yes. But the thing about America was we had to fly to America.
Yes, of course. Via Gander and all over that route.
And
it would have been the old ferry route, wouldn't it? It would have been the old Airbridge ferry. And Prestwick, Gander.
Being a navigator, we had to stop at the Azores on the way because we couldn't do it with the petrol. And I had to find the Azores, which is a very small island in the middle of the Atlantic. Fortunately, it has a very high mountain in the
volcanic
middle.
Volcanic mountain,
Pico. And my pilot was getting very nervous about finding this
time
place.
Distance run, and there's a lot of sea down there. We haven't found the Azores yet.
Yes.
Come on, Nav.
And coming out and look at it, but we got there all right, of course. And
excellent.
Then to Gander in Newfoundland.
Was there any? I mean, in those days, there was no real navigational aids of any sort.
We were working with
a beacon and dead reckoning, I suppose.
Yes, and using the compass.
The sextant.
The sextant.
And the astrodome
and
a lot.
I've got that among these papers. I've got the log that I used, filled in
Excellent.
As I used it, you know.
For that place. Was fascinating.
If you want to take that away with you.
Well, I'll have a look.
You'll know
now.
What it is now that I've told you.
Yes, yes. Well, I think that more or less finishes the.
Yes.
This. Yeah. So we'll stop that now.
Right.
And I'll play it back just to make sure it's taken.